Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody, Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here, the Chuck and Julie Show, truth straight up, no matter how bitter
it may be. Why am I laughing? Why am I laughing? You might as well cry. That's right. Brought to you by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. And boy, do we need them. To give you a quick, it is Party Friday. Chuck is in the depths of depression. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk, obviously, about what's going on nationally, but that is so depressing. And that is something that we actually don't have any control over. But we want to talk to you about some legislative battles that are going on here in Colorado with a vote that's coming up Monday at the state capitol that does make a huge amount of difference. So we got Patrick Neville, the Weekly Minority Report, coming up. We're going to have George Anthonisopoulos on, grassroots strategist, to kind of explain it all, as well as Dave Williams, great representative, who's sort of at the heart of the controversy. And then we're going to have Joe Altman. Everybody's been telling us, you got to have Joe Altman on the show. So we are back by popular demand at 3:30. But let's jump in first with Patrick.
Patrick Neville's on line three. Patrick, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. That sounds like one heck of a lineup you got there.
And that's going to have you kind of tee it up for everybody. Can you kind of explain maybe why this makes a difference? So you have been minority leader, a great one, by the way. You are stepping down from that position. And I think actually at first I was depressed, but you're like, no, actually I can have more influence when I'm not the leader. And so what's shaping up now is a fight between some rhino squish fake Republicans who want to take over the leadership of the House. And then we've got Dave Williams and Kevin Van Winkle, who are their opponents. And this vote is Monday.
It is, to say simply and fairly, I think, without exaggeration, a battle of good versus evil. Literally good versus evil. It's one thing where, you know, the squish wing of the Republican Party says, you know, we've been fighting hard for you as a united one, but we'd like to take a chance to lead and so forth. And you'd kind of go, well, you know, everybody gets a chance. But this is when, like, you try to tell your captain of your offensive team in football, and the offensive lineman would like to take a leadership role, except during the season, they've been lying down so the other team could kill the quarterback. They've been lying and
handing him the ball.
It's going to be
a pass. I mean, they've done everything they can to thwart our efforts. They've accused me of everything, you know, under the sun. Quite frankly, they did for years before, and that's one of the reasons I ran for leadership. Things like, you know, punishing people with bad, poor committee assignments. I mean, Lois Landgraf must have accused me of that 100 times, but if you look at the emails, I actually gave her number one committee assignments to her. So, you know, even down to offices, I made sure offices were done that by seniority was, you know, try to treat everyone fairly. But of course, you know, it wasn't good enough for them. They went out and tried to start their own 527. Went out and told donors don't give to the leadership fund. Yep. They even went out and did news stories saying we've already got the votes, which I don't think they do, which totally killed our efforts in the state. You just take a look at the elections, and it was kind of the result of that too. The same establishment Republicans that are behind these folks trying to get them, putting them in, are the ones that, you know, tried to torpedo our efforts. Like people like Greg Brophy, Josh Henry, Mark Hillman, who all donated to Stephanie Luck's opponent, Bree Buonteo. And they came out and said, oh, there's no way that Stephanie Luck can win. Bree's just too moderate and such a good candidate. You guys will never beat her. Well, guess what? Here we are days later, and we beat Bree by 8 points.
There you go.
You know, even though the NRA went against Stephanie Luck. So Stephanie Luck pulled that out. I think, you know, Take Back Colorado was the only one playing in her favor in that race. But meanwhile, they go and spend millions of dollars in primaries. And then just, you know, pennies in comparison in the general.
Yeah. Right.
So, well, you know, at the end of the day, I'm happy that we held even. You know, we didn't lose Richard Champion, which was too bad, but we picked up Stephanie Luck in a big way. And quite frankly, the Democrats threw the kitchen sink at Van Winkle.
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it when we see the final reports that if it's close to $1 million spent against Van Winkle in a House race.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, he outperformed Steve House. He outperformed everyone else in that race. So, you know, given everything, all the circumstances we're up against, I'm happy with our results. But, yeah, you're right. The other ones were just kind of laying down. They didn't even want to show up to fundraisers.
Well, explain this to me, because this is where I have a problem with, intellectually anyway. What do these crumbags want?
Power.
Well, I got power. There's no power when you're in the minority. Somebody ought to tell them that. There's no power in a minority in a legislature, and especially when the majority has no intention of working with you other than make you a co-op for their sick schemes of heroin, pedophilia. Yeah,
we're not just going to see safe injection sites, Patrick. I'm looking at Oregon. I bet we're just going to see.
But what do they want? I mean, okay, they like abortion. They love killing little children. That's what these sick women always go. Oh, I have a right to choose. You know, but what the politics has left the train station. There is no moderate Democratic Party for them to reach out to. All they can do is serve as walking planks on the way to the gallows. I mean, what are these morons?
Right, and the only thing, the only advantage you have in the minority is you do have a strong voice. And, you know, if you're not going to have a strong voice and you're not going to follow the procedural tactics, which Dave Williams was absolutely wonderful at doing, you know, pulling out everything and helping us out with that, leading all these filibusters, and he led our amendments committee, was phenomenal doing all that stuff. And basically, we just caused enough pain that would make the Democrats go, okay, what concessions can we give to make you guys stop this pain? We knew we'd never, you know, get the votes and change the bill completely, that's kind of the only weapon we had in our arsenal, and we used it effectively. And these guys are saying, oh no, you just got to get along with them better. And you can get along with them all day long, but if you don't have some sort of, you know, stick in your hand, they're not going to listen to you.
No. Well, and what about this? I mean, to bring it home to now, because so the people who are running against Dave and Kevin Van Winkle are Hugh McCain and Colin Larson. And am I right in? I heard that Hugh McCain, a Republican in name only, was one of the prime sponsors that gave Polis the keys to the kingdom to lock us all down under ongoing, never-ending emergency orders. Is that right, or am I mistaken there?
No, that's absolutely right. That's a bill he passed, I think, in 2018. And, you know, and then it's funny because we're on conference calls. I'm just trying to keep the peace. I never did bring it up. But yeah, they're talking about, oh, we got to do more to stop what the Democrats are doing. I'm sitting here saying, okay, we've done this, we've done that. Now I'm doing a lawsuit. And every time, you know, the same folks be going, we got to do more. I'm like, well, how about you?
You never do anything.
Well, it's like,
you know, friends for the future are just betrayers of the past. I mean, they're just disgusting, amoral degenerates. What? I mean, you wouldn't want a child within a block of them.
I actually told them too, and you know, I made a pledge and I stuck by this pledge that anyone who works for me directly or indirectly is not allowed to play in primaries against House incumbents.
Right.
Because that's what was happening under the old leadership, is they absolutely were using House funds and using other things to attack incumbents. We never did that. You know, we actually, even Justin Everett was doing some work for us, and we had to let him go once he started running against Colin Larson. And that was not fun. And Justin Everett's a good friend, and we had to let him go and cut his contract short. And we stuck to that. And so it's funny, you're asking, what do they want? Well, I don't know. They got everything they kind of wanted. When I was in there, I did play fair, and now I'm actually looking forward to being outside of it all,
what they really are Democrats, not in you know, who knows, they're there for just slightly more taxes or something, but the moral degradation where they lie, cheat, steal. I mean, you know, they were backing.
Well, they're backing Democrats.
But literally are going after incumbents. Well, and they're going after their own incumbents.
They don't even know the procedures. Let's be clear about this too. I remember late in the last session, you know, Colin Larson was supposed to be leading this like little coup against this business tax bill and trying to bring it down to like, you know, so businesses that are like less than 50 could be exempt. And, you know, we all kind of trusted with him that he was working with concern and whatnot. And, you know, I'll have to pull up the tape on this because it's a true story. There's a little trick, you know, in the House called a division. So if you can pull enough Democrats aside, Democrats won't want to vote on record against their party, but on a division they will. And division is just a standing vote.
Ah.
And so if you pull enough of them over, you call a division. But you got to call a division before the chair calls the vote. Well, the chair calls the vote and then rules you know, against Collins' amendment, and then he calls division. It's like you don't even know how to call a division because you spent all of your time off the floor,
right?
You know, making phone calls, trying to line up, you know, all the support against our conservatives running the primaries, rather than actually paying attention and learning the rules of how the House works.
And isn't Colin Larson, so we got Hugh McCain, who's the one who gave Jared Polis the emergency powers that's locked us all down now since like the spring. And wasn't Colin Larson, isn't he our friend who gave us the red flag bill too?
No, Colin didn't have anything to do with the red
okay.
flag.
That's Colwist.
Colwist.
Yeah.
Well, and here's one thing, too, I want to explain to folks who may not be aware of this. And if you're not in Colorado, this is happening in your state as well. When you look at the map of how the election came out, you can see the Front Range pretty solid from you know, Wyoming to the southern border, pretty solidly blue. The Western Slope, Eastern Plains, pretty solidly red. We've talked to Democrat strategists who acknowledge there are districts that they are not going to get an actual Democrat elected. So what they do, which is why we have the open primaries that the Democrats push through, is they're playing in Republican primaries, and they are fronting and funding and throwing literally millions of Democrat dollars at a fake Republican candidate. And that's what you've got of people like Hugh McCain and Colin Larson. This is the Democrat strategy. They're like, okay, we're not going to argue with you about those seats, but what we are going to do is run, you know, a Democrat wearing like a big R on his head, like that's supposed to fool us. I mean, Patrick, this is just... It may sound, if you're out there, you know, like, well, what big deal? Who cares who the minority leader is? But this is actually a pretty significant battle, isn't it?
It is. And quite frankly, I just want someone who's going to treat everyone fairly. And what we've seen in the past is these guys won't. These guys are going to basically work against conservatives every step of the way and battle conservatives more than they will even the Democrats. Since we've been in, it's funny, like everything that I read in the press, it's just like they read Saul Alinsky and they're using it. They say, we haven't been able to get the Democrats to come to the table and make any concessions. Last time I checked, you guys watched the 181 battle, you know, the horrible oil and gas bill. That went through the Senate as written, not a single change made. And then it gets to the House, and we stood up every procedural move we made, and we worked hard. And then we actually got a lot of concessions on that bill, so at least some operators in the state could continue to operate. But they say, we haven't been able to make any policy changes. I'm like, heck yes, we have, and with worse numbers than the Senate, and it's because of our boldness, and that's all I'm looking for in leaders. Who's going to be bold and strong in the chamber, in those private meetings? Because I've seen some people come out with, like, some horrible deals, so-called deals that we have to vote for, is what they say afterwards. And, you know, I never did that. Every time I would be, okay, you're proposing this, let me go back to my caucus and talk to my caucus. And here's how silly it is. I remember we were in one meeting, and then Hugh McKean said, no, I want a negotiation on this other bill. That's quid pro quo. You can't negotiate on another bill. That's literally illegal. So, like, at least, you know, let people who are in there paying attention. I'm telling you, these folks who've been in there, they go out there, they're hanging out with the Democrats, or they're up in the balcony talking to so-and-so. Yeah. They haven't even been paying attention to what's happening on the floor. Kevin's been in the thick of it from the very beginning, knows every procedure that's known to man. So does Dave Williams. And, you know, those are the folks we need in there. If not, it's going to be a really, really rough session.
Well, let me ask you about the session. I know, you know, the Democrats did not, you know, the blue wave. Of course, it's hard to have a blue wave in Colorado.
When it's already blue.
We're already swamped. But I mean, nationally, and even in the legislature, like you said, you guys held strong and you held things. So it's not
as if Kevin Perillo win?
Yes.
Sick, barely.
It's not as if they have a mandate, but I think they don't care. Do you think, Pat? I mean, I think that whatever the progressive stuff we saw last time in the session, I think they're going to double down. Like I said, we have Oregon is now decriminalizing heroin. I bet that comes through. I mean, what's your prediction for what this session is going to look like?
No, that's too depressing.
No, have you had
that's too depressing. No. Don't even go there.
Let
him answer.
It's going to look really bad, but I will say the fact that we actually held steady in the House when a lot of people didn't predict that. And, you know, we made Bree own her party's votes too. That's the big thing too. You know, okay. He tried being, oh, I'm different from my party, kind of that Tracy Craftharp mold that's worked for Tracy Craftharp in the past. But we've, you know, she tried doing that. We made her own our party's votes, and that's what we got to do is with all these different competitive seats. And then redistricting is going to play a huge role. So we'll see. I mean, it might be just they might try to get everything done before redistricting, and it might be a really nasty session. And if that's the case, you know, you're going to need true fighters in those leadership positions because that's not easy.
No.
I mean, you know, I'll be sitting in the cheap seats now, and it's going to take me, you know, at least 20 seconds to run down to the well to do some procedural move. And we need folks in those first two chairs who truly understand those procedures and those policies and how they can, because I mean, the Democrats are going to be throwing everything at us and being sneaky, and we can't have people who are trying to look up in a book and figure out what they're doing and going consulting with Steve Clark.
You've got to have people
who know exactly what's going on, who have the experience. And that's Kevin and Dave.
All right. Well,
that's
listen,
a great combo.
Thank you. We're gonna let you go and grab some of them and get Dave and George on the phone. Any final thought? I mean, there's so much to talk about, but any.
Well, here's what I wanted because you know I got to get my Lexapro doubled up or something.
That's his antidepressant.
Give us some what you consider
good
you
news.
Know, yeah, silver linings in the otherwise dark election. I mean, obviously. There's been a few things that went well. Okay, so why don't you give us your list of ones that
even if it's a short list,
even if it's a very short list.
Well, the biggest is Stephanie Luck. Like I said, you had Josh Penry, Greg Brophy, Mark Hillman all donating to her opponent. The NRA endorsing her opponent and going against her. Every person in the lobby corps saying there's no way you can win that seat. Even the Kleins, you know, playing heavily in the primary against Stephanie Luck. Which maybe that's a whole other segment we need to have on the Kleins.
Yeah.
And their role in all this. But, you know, everything was against her. And then I remember even, you know, those same folks that, you know, work for a concern or work, you know, consult with these different industries, they said they were trying to call me and try to pull out information from me. Well, does she have a chance? And I was like, you know what? I'm staying silent on this because any information I give to you guys, I know it's going to go over to Breedlin Teo and all my enemies. So we stayed totally silent. We played heavily in that race. And boom, like, I mean, our polling, I think, had Stephanie up 4 points, and then she ends up winning the race by 8 points.
Wow.
What district was that?
That's District 47. So that's 47. Clarissa Navarro's old district. It's in Pueblo, Otero, and I think he's a Huerfano County.
Pablo,
so,
okay.
Yeah, you know, that was a big win. No one thought we could do that. Well, guess what? We did it by 8 points.
There you go.
Yay!
Well, Patrick, thank you for your time. We'll talk later next week. We're going to let you go. So thank you, sir.
Thank you, Zach.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay, and now let's go ahead and bring up George Anthonisopoulos, a grassroots Republican strategist, and the aforementioned Representative Dave Williams, who is going to be, so it's Kevin Van Winkle seeking the minority leader position, Dave Williams running for election in the as the assistant. So, Dave, let me maybe first start with you and say, first off, thank you for your time. I know you've got a lot, you're busy, but when is this vote and how is that going to work?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chuck and Julie. The vote's going to be Monday morning at 10 a.m. And so we have a weekend to try and convince the caucus, the majority of the caucus, to stick, you know, to Republican values and Republican principles. This is a battle for the heart and soul of our party.
Right.
And especially with reapportionment and redistricting coming up in 2022, we have a real shot at taking back seats and maybe even getting into the majority. But we're not going to do that if the caucus elects a moderate establishment player who wants to cut deals with Democrats and compromises and moves our party to the left. So this election is key, and I encourage all your listeners, call your legislators. They represent you. Let them know that you don't want them for their first vote of the session, really, to be one for surrender and to move the party to the left, that they need to vote for the conservatives.
Who are the kind of some of the people who have not committed one way or the other at this point?
You know, most people haven't committed that are in play right now, and I And I truly don't know what that is, because in leadership elections, it seems to me that everyone doesn't want to know where anyone's at, because they're afraid of repercussion and retaliation.
However, Dave, I have gotten my little hands on a list of, I think, six names. And I know I already send emails out to them. I have passed the information that I had on to other people who
give the names.
Well, I'm going to have to find it. But what I'll do is I'll put it on our Facebook page.
Let me finish.
I'm going to put it on our Facebook page with the email addresses too. But that's what I want to bring.
Because
George Anthonisopoulos may be able to answer this. So George, why don't we bring you up? And George, can you maybe talk about this? This is something where if you're a voter or a citizen out there, you don't have to sit by the sidelines and just cross your fingers and hope it comes out okay. George, we can actually do something here, right?
Yeah. Here, let me just get Mark Catlin, Matt Soper, Perry Will, Rod Bockenfeld, Andy Pico, Tanya Van Berber. Call them. Make your voice heard.
Well, here's even more important, because I once was deciding, because it only went by one vote, of who's going to be Speaker of the Republican House.
Well, you were a lobbyist at the time.
I was just a person who gave a lot of money to a lot of candidates and could raise them a lot of money. And I said, if unless you vote for so-and-so for Speaker, that's the last penny you ever get. And in fact, your opponent will get lots of money. And that made a huge difference. It was, oh, please, would you vote for my person? It's, I'll kill you unless you vote for the guy.
Back to George. I don't know.
So I'm going to be the bad cop. If Representative Williams would like to say some good stuff, I would like to then come over the top with the hammer and tell you how I see the things here in Colorado.
Okay. Well, let me first tell folks, just so they know, I will put this out on our Facebook page, because I have a list of names, the names that George just read out, and I've got some email addresses and phone numbers. I know Jan Cook, a lot of folks who listen to our show are familiar with her. She's putting it out all over the universe. So it's going to be out there so you can do that. And it just take a quick second and call or text him and say, vote for Kevin Van Winkle and Dave Williams. Let them know that you care. Dave, anything you want to...
It's a secret vote, so you'll never know how the person voted, but
well, and here's the thing. There are only 24 Republicans anyway, right, Dave? It's not like there are billions of people that we got to worry about here.
Well, I guess what I would say is this. No matter where you live, if you live in a Republican district, call them up and let them know that you didn't elect them to surrender to the Democrats and move our party to the left, so that they should be voting, you know, your values, your principles, and that includes leadership. You know, we're not interested in having leaders who will just capitulate and cut deals and run away.
How much more can they capitulate? I mean, my God, the Democrats don't give, and they say, look, okay. I'll tell you what, we'll split the baby in half and it'll be dead.
And they'll call it bipartisan.
We'll call it bipartisan. I mean,
all right. Hey, George, bring down the hammer.
Bring down the hammer.
So, Representative Williams, what he's not saying is he was the one who was smart enough to see ahead of time that the Trump campaign in Colorado wasn't going to be competitive, that Cory Gardner and his campaign, you know, weren't going to be competitive. And he was doing his best behind the scenes to change something because he cares about Colorado. And he's smart enough to see when things aren't going the right way. And he moved heaven and earth to try and stop it. But he was stymied by all the usual suspects here in Colorado, who, by the way, are now out of jobs because they're idiots. Because they took as much money as they could to line their own pockets instead of doing the hard work of campaigning and going to the places where the Republican message should absolutely resonate. We are the party of the working man and woman in the state of Colorado and nationally. You can see that Trump took a third of Hispanics. He took 12% of black men. He doubled the take of black women from 4% to 8%, which doesn't sound significant, but let's double it again and let's double it again. So you have the the Josh Penrys and the Brophys and all these, you know, Dick
Hillman
stuff. And yeah, I mean, these people should never work in Colorado again, ever. And in 2022, we have redistricting, we have reapportionment, we have four Republican statewide offices, plus we have a U.S. senator, the nerd, running for reelection. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So we either vote for business as usual, or we vote for Representative Van Winkle and Representative Williams. Business as usual, the losers, or we vote for people who actually want to win and are smart enough to know how to do so. So let's go there. And I'm going to take it a step further. And I don't want to associate Representative Williams with my opinion on the Republican Party. So
yeah,
please don't associate it with. But we need a new chair. I know that Ken Buck is not going to run again. We don't need the business as usual Republicans. We don't need another version of Ryan Cole in there. So, you know, I've heard some rumblings through the grapevine that Scott Gessler is thinking about running again. So I'm going to give you a math problem to help you out. Like, if you're on the, if you're wondering, do I vote for Scott Gessler? So he was involved with the first recall Polis campaign, right? So let's do a simple division problem. So the dividend, which will be the signatures, so that's the number on the top. We'll put the number of signatures they handed in to recall Polis, and then the divisor will be the amount of money that he personally took from that campaign to recall Governor Polis. If the quotient is greater than one, yeah, he deserves your vote. Guess what? It's not. It's far less than one. So it's simple math. No, he doesn't get my support. No.
So what you're saying is not only did he not get anything going for the Polis recall, but he made himself money doing it.
We're not talking about the state party right now.
This is exactly what we are talking about, which is the leadership and direction of the Republican Party. You can go with business as usual, the type of Republican who has turned this state from reliably red to the darkest blue state in the freaking country, maybe aside from the West Coast.
Right.
Or you can vote for Representative Van Winkle and Representative Williams on Monday. It's that simple. And frankly, like, don't come at me with any nonsense that they're nice guys. Yeah, they're this.
They are not. Hey, let me tell you, Colin is not a nice guy. He's a snake. He's a sleazy, amoral, degenerative snake. He would betray you. He would betray you and he's a disgusting human being. And quit saying maybe he's a nice guy. They lie, they cheat, and they steal.
Put words in your mouth because you're being the nice guy here.
Yeah.
Tell us how you really feel.
Dave, listen, we only got you guys for a few more minutes. So what would be helpful to you, and George, we're going to get the names again, and like I said, we'll post them up, and they're going to be all over the place. What would be helpful to you and Kevin Van Winkle, Dave, to help make sure that you guys become the minority leadership in the state legislature?
You know, I think you have a decent list there, but I would expand upon it and just say that these leadership elections are tricky. People in leadership elections don't necessarily want to commit because they're afraid of retaliation, and I understand that. So what I suggest is if any Republican legislator who claims to be a conservative and you live in their district, you need to call them up, and you need to demand that they vote for the conservative candidates. And if they don't vote for the conservatives, then I think that tells you where they're at and what the true state of our party is. This is kind of our last stand. If we elect the surrender team, then guess what? The next decade is going to be hell.
We'll never win again. I mean, it's very hard anyway. And so, folks, if you don't know, the way you can find that out, if you just put your district or your address in, it's pretty easy to, we just voted for number one. So you can look and see. And then all of these candidates and the legislators have websites. So it's not like it's hard to find. You can, with a little bit of work, you can find it for everybody. But do you want to, George, maybe one more time, read the names, and George will let you kind of wrap it up here.
Mark Catlin, Matt Soper, Terry Will, Rod Bockenfeld, Andy Pico, Tanya Van Berber. And these representatives, if they don't vote for Kevin Van Winkle and Dave Williams, expect to see outcomes like you saw in the race, Corey's race. Expect the same outcome in 2022, 2024, and every race thereafter for a solid decade. You either vote for the losers or you vote for the people smart enough to say, hey, this is not right. We're not doing the right thing. We have to change. So you either vote for losers or you vote for people who want to change.
Dave, we've known you for a while, and you're really one of the great Republican forces in Colorado, and same with Mr. Van Winkle. So I want to
thank you for running.
And
you bet. And I wanted to touch on one thing real quick before I let you guys go. George was the hammer for the Trump stuff, but I want to just confirm that for all the fact checkers, that I told the president to his face that he was going to lose Colorado because he didn't have good people at the helm. And to the president's credit, he tried to change it, and he put me in touch with his national team. But the team on the ground here in Colorado did what they could to eventually eliminate me. And they finally got their wishes when I decided to endorse, you know, Justin Everett over Larson. And I make no apologies. I was right then, and the proof is on the scoreboard. We lost by, 14 points?
Yeah. Exactly.
And Matt managed to go from 4 points 4 years ago to 14. So whoever was in charge, and we know who that was,
right,
congratulations on the
– And you guys, maybe job. We'll touch base with you guys on Monday, and we can bring the results.
What time's the vote?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. All right. Good luck. We're going to be fighting hard for you over the weekend. George, thank you. We'll be in
good
touch
job,
too.
George.
See, get maybe just do everything we can to get the word out. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. You guys too. So guys, what we're talking about here is the essentially the future of the Republican, the beginning of the future of the Republican Party in Colorado. There's a lot of things that need to change. And our next guest is going to talk about that a little bit, but it starts with, coming up Monday, the state legislature. So if I think Dave Williams probably had it best, rather than worrying about a specific thing, if you live in a district and your representative is a Republican, you need to email them, call them, text them. It just takes a second. Sent out a whole bunch to just say, hey, please vote for Dave Williams, Kevin Van Winkle for the leadership position, because that's like they said. What do we need a bunch of Republicans at the state legislature whose whole goal is to maybe increase our own power by compromising with the Democrats? We're still under a freaking executive order lockdown from Jared Polis. He's never going to release. Do we think he's going to release it? This is how stupid the city of Denver is. The city of Denver now has it's a 10 o'clock curfew, as if somehow or another you don't get COVID and before 10 p.m. but you can afterwards. And guess what? They don't want to really hurt the rioters or the looters, so they're not having the cops enforce it. The health department's going to enforce it.
And they
flat out said it doesn't make any difference. If you're a protester, a rioter, or a looter, then you don't have to follow this, but we sure hope you'll social distance. But if you're a business, restaurant or a bar, we're going to come after you and lock you down and close you down. So those guys, this human McCain, he gave Polis, he was a prime sponsor of the bill that gave Polis that power. That's not the kind of guy we want fighting for Republicans in the state legislature.
All right.
That was my rant.
All right, Julie.
Moving on.
Yes. All right. We got a special guest with us. Why don't you introduce him?
We have Joe Altman on. So first, Joe, let me bring you up. Thank you for your time today. I know you're really busy. Appreciate you taking time for us this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, and here's the reason we're having you on, because Joe, I've never met you, but I can tell you this, we have all kinds of people saying, you guys need to get Joe Altman on. You need to get Joe Altman on. So thank you. So here we have it. You, you're the, you're the CEO of a PIN business that's a sort of a data servicing agency, but also you're the founder of something that I've been hearing a lot about from Chris Doty on this, FEC United, Faith, Education, and Commerce, a grassroots organization. Maybe just let me jump right into the open-ended question and ask you, tell folks a little bit about this organization.
And yourself.
And yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I've stayed on the fringes of politics for quite some time, but I've never gotten involved in it. And frankly, I don't feel like we did by creating FEC United. Mm-hmm. I felt like we had an obligation. And you know, I've been rather successful. I have 194 employees, 13 companies, the largest of which is one of the largest first-party data aggregators in the nation other than Google. So I just felt like I'd gotten to the place where if not me, who, and if not now, when? And the whole lockdown itself, call over a 60-day period of time, them take away our constitutional rights and just flush them down the toilet. And I watched as people just said, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. And the hopelessness that developed after that just led me to say, hey, listen, there's a lot we can do about it. We just have to stand together. So FEC United is designed to give backbone to or support to churches, mosques, synagogues. That's why we call it faith and not churches. You know, they've basically taken away the ability for us or for pastors to feed their people. And frankly, I don't care what religion you are, just that you have the ability to have that
right
spiritual nourishment given to your congregation. So on the education side, we've got a lot of problems, right? So we have an issue of getting kids back to not a new normal, but normal without masks, without all the restraints they put on these kids. And if we don't get them back to school to normal, we're going to find ourselves dealing with a true pandemic. And that is one of mental health issues and mass suicide from our young people. Yeah. Right. So secondarily, we have another issue on education, and that is the indoctrination that is happening in our school system. Right. We have taken God out of our society. We've taken God out of our schools. I mean, we replaced it with this secular mentality that says, hey, listen, we can't talk about God. But more importantly, in second grade, we're going to teach you or recruit kids to be gay or queer. They got this thing called queering the classroom. Now, frankly, I don't care if you're gay. If you're gay, you're gay. I can't imagine how easy it would be to live that life. But recruiting kids in second and third grade and actually questioning who they are as young people, frankly, is why we're seeing a rise in suicide.
Right.
So, and we're seeing a rise in just mental health issues with young people even before the pandemic. So we're going to try to restore order on the education side. We're going to get people to run for office. We're going to have seasons of recalls, and we're going to hold our people accountable. And then on the commerce side, we watched through this pandemic as they literally said that the virus or the COVID only exists in small businesses.
Yeah.
They gave holidays to Walmarts and Targets and everyone else in our environment, and frankly tried to eliminate or weaken just the main core of our society, of our community. And so we want to be able to give them a voice. We saw the ineffectual voice of the chambers of commerce and the trade unions and things that didn't stand up. They just said, hey, we just got to listen to the governor as if he's the king.
Right.
Right. So there's a vast amount that we're doing, and how we're doing it is that we're doing it with, you know, C4. It is going to be a C4 and a C3 on the impact and education side. We are going to have a law and policy center. There's lots of think tanks out there. You have Independence Institute, Centennial Institute. Those are great organizations, and we're going to create partnerships with lots of organizations, even maybe some unlikely alliances that we'll probably build.
What's an unlikely alliance?
What is an unlikely alliance?
Yeah, give me one of the unlikely alliances.
We like
here.
The unlikely people.
Well, I don't know. It depends on how unlikely. I mean, joining up with the ACLU, well, that'd be an unlikely alliance.
Yeah, that'd be probably an impossible alliance, not an unlikely one. But there's other organizations that sit in the middle or maybe lean left, maybe have different social ideologies than we would have, but still stand up and are constitutionally centered. Right. I mean, okay. I'm pro-life. I'm unapologetically pro-life. But there are organizations out there that maybe are pro-choice. I'm not talking about organizations that advocate for abortion. I'm talking about organizations that maybe see things differently from a social perspective, but still believe in constitutional integrity within our community. So,
let me ask you this.
Name one of those organizations. They've passed me by.
Well, they probably passed me by too, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they don't exist.
Oh. Okay, you're just saying
they don't exist, and I'm not. I'm just saying that we have to be. See, one of the things we do on our side is we eat our own, right? Conservatives right. don't know how to get along. Everyone's always got the best way forward. Lots of politics play into it, pettiness, drama, all that stuff we've been able to eliminate with FEC, and we've been able to create a whole lot of progress. I mean, we have over 90,000 members in just 23 weeks, and we built this organization very, very quickly.
Well, it sounds like you're saying what our Democrat friends, Ted Tripas, tells us they do is they don't get into ideological battles up front. They say, let's just win. If we can all agree to help.
No, but they all agree with Raila. They all believe in
faith. No, I understand,
killing.
But I
think. There is only one side that actually works with everybody and tries. It is like with just a minority leader. And the moderates and the Republican side are vicious, amoral, and they'll go after your children. So the idea that we all should get together while they're destroying our kids.
Well, I don't think
is
you say
much.
That.
I didn't say he was saying
oh,
that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. Matter of fact, quite the opposite.
Okay.
I have zero tolerance for the loony left. Zero.
Yeah.
And frankly, I believe that courage is more infectious than fear. So I have no desire to sit here and try to negotiate with people who want to destroy our society. Not even okay. one inch. I won't even give an inch.
How do you see things? I mean, so it sounds like you're talking to a lot of people. And you know, like I said, we heard like a lot about you. What's your take on, that's not, again, we'll talk about the presidential race here in a few minutes, but it's just so depressing. But is Colorado savable, do you think? I mean, you just look at what the Democrats.
Yeah, obviously Colorado is savable and so is the rest okay. of the nation, right? But I mean, as far as the presidential race specifically, I'm going to tell you, no retreat, no surrender. We do not give in one inch to these people. We don't let Biden declare himself the president.
Right.
Frankly,
right.
you don't get to steal the election and supplant, which is what they're doing.
Right.
You don't get to do that. You don't get to. We will rise up against them, and there will be no. I was around in 2008 when Kenya burning happened, when there was massive amounts of fraud in Kenya, a third world country. By the way, our entire voting system is third worldish, right?
Oh.
In fact, most third world countries have better voting systems than we do and require IDs in order to vote. So this mail-in ballot and everything else all benefits the Democrats because all
yes.
they do is lie.
Oh, it's part of their strategy.
Right?
No, it's absolutely. It's part of their
yeah.
strategy to be able to cheat, and they hide it under. And I think if we let them get away with it, and I absolutely agree with you. You know, I was a TV reporter for decades, right? I've covered number of elections, and there are always ballots that come in afterwards, but not hundreds of thousands, and not all of them for one candidate. None. I mean, to me, it is so. Anybody who's all these people who are saying, "Oh, you know, maybe it isn't fraud." I'm like, it's fraud. Wake up! If the Democrats, Trump is winning on election night, all of these Democrat cities.
No, Julie.
All right, I'll get depressed again. All right. Well, but I agree with you though, Joe. I think it's you have to stand
about,
up and say not one inch. We don't give up one inch.
You talked about recalls and other ones. I'm not sure if you've heard about it, but in Westminster where we live, which is actually the eighth largest city in Colorado and bigger than Pueblo, the city council got taken over by one squish Republican mayor, and then emerge candidates and far left candidates who were. Trying to do incredibly socialistic things to the city, and they decided they were going to raise the water rates by massive amounts on all the citizens to be able to turn a nice green suburb into a zero-scape. And they just turned in last week enough signatures, and now the sufficiency has been determined. But to recall the mayor, who's really a squish Republican, and all the Democrats, even though it's not a bipartisan, it is a kind of thing that if Republicans ever did anything, or good people who want good government did anything, it's the one recall election to work in. It's the one to actually turn
we'll
over
recruit you here.
And make a difference, you know.
For suburbs. I mean, they're trying to, the bottom line with this effort is they're trying to destroy suburbs.
But if you can never win an election, if you never, and as a practical matter, the Adams Democrats are doing they're going after the pursers and they're going after their kids and everything else. But the Republicans are just gone, you know. Oh, no, that's not a, You know, kind of like, do you ever get involved in anything that matters on people's lives? And they go, oh, no, we can't, you can't do that. So it's going to be left to the, you know, housewives and hardworking people with no help from the state Republican Party, no help from any of the quote unquote Josh Penrys or the rest of the betrayers. But we'll see. Maybe in one place, at one time in Colorado, the good, honorable, decent people will take their city back, and it's a battle worth
fighting. So I'm going to tell you that that's what's happening right now, right? That's what's happening right now. There's nothing that they can do to me. Nothing. Yeah. They can't take away my birthday. They can't start eating me, right? They try to go after my kids. None of those things scare me. I think that we have, as a community, have to start setting aside the broken things in our society that are holding us back. And the GOP in Colorado is broken. It's broken. Yes. 100% yes. broken.
Yes.
Right? And frankly, it's shameful because you have people that are literally trying traditionalists that are trying to, I don't know. I don't even know if the GOP actually stands for what traditional values are. I don't think they do. Right? I think that they're allowing themselves to be overrun. They're allowing the left to do the things they did to Colorado. And they don't operate from a position of strength. They operate from a position of weakness. Yeah. So, but I do think that the hope comes from communities and people actually growing enough courage to say, hey, we're going to walk away. Right? Yeah. We're going to walk away from big tech. If 70 million people and their families walked away from Facebook and Twitter and all these different places and deplatformed themselves from them, those companies would fail. 71% of all dollars in market are actually spent by conservatives, not by liberals, right? 71%.
Wow.
What do you think will happen to these companies that are based off ad revenue if their ad revenue disappears because we decide to go somewhere else?
If they're, well, no, and you're absolutely right.
Problems.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, when you look at the big tech, you're right. We're the product that they're selling there. And if we go away and be as if all of the things got up off the shelves and walked away, and you're, you know, here's how stupid Twitter is. So Chuck and I, we started the Twitter thing a year, not even a year ago. And we have like roughly 1300 followers. They eliminated like 20 followers. Like yesterday. I'm like, seriously, Twitter? Seriously?
You just eliminated them? Like, yeah, you guys.
They're just
you
gone.
Sound conservative.
No. Well, we've been banned. We've been labeled fake news. And you're absolutely right, Joe. It's time. I mean, we're the same way. You're going to fire us? Already did that.
Already did that. You're going after our child?
Already did that. You're going to try to kill me? Already did that.
Yeah.
And we didn't shut up, and we're not going to shut up. And I'm so glad to hear that there are people like you saying, and guess what? You know what? I'm not shutting up either. And you got 90,000 people already.
Yeah. So, and part of this is that we have a group of organizations that frankly are just operating with courage. We're operating from the position that we're willing to risk things. We're willing to make sacrifices. And we recognize that those sacrifices are necessary. So, and it's just, we have to get to that place as a society where nothing is off the table. And I'm telling you, this election is that hill to die on. The hill to die on. This election, this presidential election is the hill to die on.
Yes.
I see it said all the time. Is it the hill to die on? They ask me all the time, is it? And I go, yes, it absolutely is.
Yeah, I agree.
If we allow them to steal this election, right, then we 100% will lose our country. It's not a matter of, if we lose it, we will lose it.
Yeah.
Right.
So
agree.
Now the sad part is that I don't think that we're going to be able to die on this hill without a shot being fired. I think that the writing's on the wall. We're entering a phase of a civil war that started off as being a dry civil war, and it's going to turn wet real fast. So
I went to school at the University of Salamanca outside of Madrid. And this was in the late 60s. So a lot of people from the Spanish Civil War were still around on both sides who had fought in it. And they said, you know, just start out, you disagreed. And then after a while, one side did this, one side did that. And I said, it's amazing how fast that it didn't take long before you started rounding up the enemies and shooting them in the bull.
Well, you got Ocasio-Cortez saying that Twitter and Facebook need to start taking names and keeping track of people who are, you know, protesting and calling the election a fraud. I mean, why on earth would she say, and she goes, and they need to start deleting those accounts and deleting those people. I mean, and now that's not, you know, particularly violent or anything like that, but first they lock us down, right? Now they're going to start taking our names. And I mean, You're absolutely right. Hey, Joe, listen, I know just a couple, maybe a final comment from you. And if you want to let people know maybe where they can find out about this organization too, that would be great.
Yeah. So it's FEC, that's Foxtrot, Echo, Charlie, United.com. That's FECUnited.com. You can go there and find out about us. We also have a secondary organization that we're partnered with called UADF. That's United American Defense Force. And that's run by John Tig Tigan.
Great.
President of that organization. And it is an organization of patriots that are there to defend our community, in our community, to protect what's ours, right? Not let these looters and rioters and communists come into our society, these Antifa dirtbags, and take what we've worked our, a long time to create. So, this is the time, right? This is the time.
All right.
Well, you sound like an interesting, good guy.
Yeah, thank you for taking time.
Thanks for coming on and joining us today.
And thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. God bless you guys, and God bless this country. God bless the U.S.
There All right. Go. Thank you. Thank you. Joe Oatman there, FEC United. Hey, and I want to let folks know too, Ben Nicholas has, if you're joining us on Zoom, earlier we were talking about some of the names and the email addresses and phone numbers of the legislators you need to call to urge them to vote for Dave Williams and Kevin Van Winkle for minority leadership position. And Ben has posted all of that information in the chat section with the Zoom meeting. Another reason that you want to come on the Zoom, when you join, you can get to the Zoom. If you want to listen on Zoom, go to chuckandjulie.com, and then that takes you everywhere you need to go. And you can also go to the BBS page. That was good. I agree with him. This is a hill to die on. And can you talk a little bit about it, or will that get you too riled up?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, what I was going to say is, I mean, I have never covered an election. No, I don't think we've ever seen this.
You don't have to repeat the obvious. The question is, the Republicans?
You interrupted me.
Well, they stole it. They stole it. But what are we going to do about them stealing it?
Want to address, though, the people, because there are a bunch of people out there, and I'm seeing conservative columnists
saying
we don't know that it was fraud. It's like, yes, we do. Why would the Democrats, they said, we don't know that if it's fraud, would it make a difference? Yes, it would make a difference. That's why the Democrats did it. This is their strategy. They're not going to be like, oh, we're just going to throw a few. That's why they needed to take days to count it so they could see how many they need. Don't be fooled by these fake conservatives. Don't be fooled. I'm sorry, Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham.
Worthless.
I mean,
worthless.
The swamp people are slithering their way back to Washington, D.C. as we speak, right? They're okay, we can get China money coming back into us now. No, they are all these people where it's like, oh, Trump should just cave in. There's a reason they're saying that, and that's because they want money and power, and they could care less about us. And you know what? If Donald Trump loses, if in other words, he shouldn't have lost, but if the courts rule against him, what I like is, he said, on this hill, no further, every step of the way we have to fight because there is too much. If they win this,
yes, it's the end.
It is the end because they will. I mean, they've realized the cheating, and the media don't listen to the media either, unless it's us, for the most part, because that's part of the corruption. They need the media to declare Biden the winner. Oh, yeah. What are they saying? No, they're increasing the Secret Service protection for Joe Biden.
Like
he hasn't had Secret Service protection.
Well, like he's not half dead anyway.
Well, I mean,
they bring the corpse back across the line.
That's just ridiculous. The Secret Service doesn't go, oh, we think he might win, so we better send a few more agents over there.
Well,
give me a freaking break. It's like, so don't pay any attention to that. And don't give up hope. Don't give up hope until there is no more hope. And then I know.
Then give up.
Then give up. Then have a drink. Well, yeah, that too. But I think we will keep fighting. And just so you know, we will keep fighting here on this show.
As long as we can.
Yeah, well, it's a podcast. So what can they do to us?
Well, they've been able to do a lot to us, but we don't care.
No, that's right. We don't care. Hey, I want to remind folks, you want to talk about Synagenics at all real quick?
Well, just these are important times to be healthy. We've come down with the flu for a couple days, but feel great.
Cold.
Yeah, more of a cold, but it doesn't matter. Who knows what you get these days? But if you're in shape, and I had a good friend who decided to go to Synagenics and came down with a really bad case of COVID and got over it in about a week. But you got to prepare yourself. You've got to get yourself in the best you can be. And calling Julie McCallum at 720-387-3681 is the way to do it.
So we want to thank Patrick Neville, George Anthonisopoulos, Dave Williams, Joe Altman for taking time and coming on. Thank you to everybody who's watching us on Zoom. Ben, thank you for getting that information all the way. Oh, wait, we got people calling in. We got time for this. We do have time.
We got time for
Sherry from Lakewood. Hey, Sherry, thank you for calling in.
Hi, you guys have to have heard about the fact that the Department of Homeland Security took over the ballots after the 2018 election, and they had the CISA, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and they watermarked the ballots. The cybersecurity, the CISA, okay, right. They were established in 2018 after those midterm elections.
Okay.
Because so much fraud was attributed. Okay. They were finding those ballots. Okay. So each of the ballots, the Department of Homeland Security was responsible. The counties had to get their ballots from them. They know the difference from the ballots that they got from China and our ballots because they were watermarked. But more than that, there was a patent in 2019. And that patent, I'm trying to think exactly how to explain it.
Well, that's okay. Because
they'll know the ones that they stole.
You're saying they can tell the difference. Okay, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know anything about that. So thank you. I don't mean to cut you off, Trey, but we're running out of time. Our satellite imagery goes. But thank you for pointing that out.
Thanks, Sherry.
We appreciate that. Want to remind folks, you can catch all of the podcasts and listen live at chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Hey, and if you want to try to boost our numbers up after Twitter is trying to steal people, it's at chuckandjulie1, the number one, at chuckandjulie1. That's show Twitter.
That's show Twitter.
Everybody, hang in there. Have a great weekend.
Have a great, great, this has been a party. Well, not exactly a party, but a riot, a little closer to that. But everybody hang in there and have a great weekend.
And thank you to the folks at BBS. We'll see you on Monday.